Please turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. As you're in the process of doing that, just thought we would reflect on something that is very poignant, I think, for all of us. I think most of us know what it is like to hurt, specifically to hurt over the struggles of other people. Mother's Day is still very near in our rearview mirrors, and it has been said that being a mother is forever to have your heart go wandering around outside your body, never knowing how it may get hurt. If you can, consider the last time you really hurt over the struggles that you saw in somebody else. Think about that if you can, and remember what that was like. What was that like for you? How did you feel? Maybe you have a relative or a good friend who's hurting themselves or others, and you ache for them. That is exactly the way that Paul's feeling in this passage for his spiritual children in Galatia. He literally says that he is in anguish. He's in anguish because he knows his family is enslaving themselves. They are enslaving themselves needlessly. He's watching those that he loves engage in this spiritual train wreck, which they could so easily avoid. So he essentially says in verse 19, "My little children, I'm in anguish until you truly accept your Christian lives under the gospel instead of under the law." Why would Paul say that? If they are Christians, then of course they believe in the gospel. They aren't enslaved, they are free. Well, let me ask all of you. When was the last time you caught yourself beating yourself up in your own mind? When was the last time that you still felt guilty after confession? When was the last time you saw someone else excel and that made you feel worse about yourself? When was the last time that you felt ashamed to come into the presence of God, like Adam and Eve did in the garden? Maybe the answer to each of these questions for you is this morning, 2 minutes ago. So how free are you? Do you feel like you're still in bondage to these kinds of things, living under the law? In part one of this two-part series, I explained that Paul unveils two spiritual options for us. One is following the law. So in verse 21, Paul says, if you want to be under the law as your standard, then you clearly don't understand it. To illustrate the point, he says, let's review your religious family history with its two options. And you get to choose which family line that you want to follow. With that, let's pick up in verse 22. Verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? "Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. That is the word of the Lord. And we have two options. Let me summarize the first part of what I just read. Verses 22 and the next couple verses. He says, "Your forefather Abraham produced two types, from two types of women, two types of sons. The slave woman produced a slave son by their fleshly efforts, and the free woman produced a free son by God's gracious covenant promise. It was God's miraculous grace that produced him. So, verse 24, the slave woman Hagar is like the covenant that God made with the Jewish nation at Mount Sinai when the law was given. She also represents the earthly Jewish city of Jerusalem and its current people. The free woman, Sarah, is like the new covenant in Christ. Her children are citizens of the heavenly city of God in heaven. So, Paul is giving us two options, which means he expects a choice. Whose children do you want to be? Again, Hagar's son represents seeking spiritual blessings by works of the law, and Sarah's son relying on God's grace by his son Jesus. First, let's take a look at Hagar's heritage. Hagar's heritage first. These are Christians who still tend to look to the law to justify themselves before God and before other people. Here, we actually see two types of people who rely on the law. So think about that as I describe the symptoms. Which of these two groups do you struggle with more? And here's the two groups. First, those who feel like they are failing at that relying on the law. And second, those who feel like they're doing fairly well, at least compared to those around them. So number one, now the first group. We actually touched on this earlier. So listen to the symptoms. Think about this. Reflect on this. See which of these groups you tend to struggle with more and in what ways. They have a strong sense of right and wrong, they feel like they aren't consistent at living up to it. They are humble and tolerant of the failings in others, but they struggle with nagging guilt in themselves. They often feel like they're not good enough for themselves, for others, and are a disappointment to God. They struggle to feel close to God because of their constant failure to live up to the holy life that God expects from them. They compare themselves to others, and they feel shame or disappointment when they do. Because they know they're breaking the law, they emotionally anticipate some kind of punishment, some kind of condemnation, or at the very least, withholding of meaningful blessings from God. This, my friends, is bondage. This is spiritual slavery. This is painful and miserable. And this is why Paul was in anguish over those that he care about that fall into this trap. He knows the pain and the struggle that comes with this. Is this you? Does this describe you? Now, for the second group that lean on the law. And this is actually the primary target that Paul has in mind as he's writing to the Galatians. What are they like? They too have a strong sense of right and wrong, but they tend to focus on the laws or moral standards which they are better at following. It's very important for them to be proven right on issues and situations. Like the first group, they too tend to compare themselves to others, except they feel satisfied by the types of comparisons that they choose to make. At church and in other social settings, they are constantly on evaluation mode. They feel good about themselves because they know the more, there are a number of different strengths that they capitalize on, that standards, if you will, that make them feel better about themselves. They may be things such as a stronger sense of the knowledge of the Bible and theology than others around them. They may feel good about themselves because their children are well behaved, or their marriage seems to be better than others, or maybe they're more responsible with their money or with their time, whatever those standards tend to be. Externally, they are very confident of their relationship with God, but deep down, they have a lot of insecurity. A lot of insecurities because no one can truly be assured that they're living up to the infinite and terrifying standards of God. Because of this, they tend to be touchy, sensitive to criticism, upset or even confused when their criticisms of others are not validated. This, too, is bondage and spiritual slavery. This, too, is a painful way to live and destructive to relationships. And this is why Paul was in anguish over those who fall back into this trap. Is this representative of you? There are a couple other verses in this chapter that relates to this, and they're easy to miss. Have you noticed verses 29 and 30 in your Bibles? Have you noticed those two verses and wondered, How do they fit into this whole presentation? I'll paraphrase these verses like this. Verse 29. Now those who live under their fleshly efforts of the law will continue to persecute those who live under the freedom of grace. Implications, the imperative. So cast off the slave woman. Who was that? Really, that represented the old law. And her sons, meaning people like the Judaizers. The brokenness of this law-oriented group, it naturally leads to persecution or criticizing of those trying to live under grace. Why? Think about this. There's a cause and effect relationship here as to why Paul included those couple verses after his previous discussion of those that fall into the trap of relying on the law and the heritage from Hagar. The Judaizers and the Pharisees of Paul's day are perfect examples. The more standards that they could emphasize and impose, the better they felt about themselves. Why? Because they were accomplishing them. Also, the better they looked to others as they postured themselves as the experts. The standards then became more and more and more important. And if these standards are not followed, you must be persecuted or corrected. It's an easy trap to snare the seasoned, experienced Christian because you're better at the standards. And if you're the one doing the correcting, then that's a big pat on your back. How do we apply this first century issue to ourselves? To be precise, we're not so much like the Judaizers. We're not. We're not like Judaizers or the Pharisees. We are like the Galatians. We are like the Galatians because the Galatians were a church. They are believers, and they were being tempted over and over again to go back and to rely on the law for their standing before God, for their standing before others. And it was tearing them up. So the call is to not fall back in either one of these ways on this law relying. So God is saying to us, cast off these attitudes that flare up in us. And so in the church, don't beat yourself up like the first group, and don't beat up others like the second group. We're tempted to do both. And we're tempted more and more the further we get away from the new covenant gospel promises. The answer is predictable, coming from the Apostle Paul. Paul's call to us is, live out who you are. Live out who you are. Verse 28, now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Verse 31, so brothers, we are not the children of the slave, but of the free woman. Be who you are. Think about who you are. Know who you are. How do you do that? First, how do you do that? This is such a simple answer. We are creatures of habit, and we are creatures that respond to what we think about, what we meditate about. And so it all comes back to those ordinary means of grace. Over and over and over again, so many passages come to mind. Jesus' prayer to the Father, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. Who is the truth? It's Christ. Who is the center of the entire word of God? The Word, from John 1. Deuteronomy 6, 3 and following is one of my favorite passages. How do we train ourselves to reorient our minds? Here is God's message to the Israelites as they were entering their promised land. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well for you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Okay, so great, that's easy, right? Just love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Okay, yeah. So where's the how part? Where's the how part? We're getting there. Verse 6, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. To the extent that we do that, will be the extent to which we are successful in appropriating the gospel into our thoughts and our hearts and the way we see our relationship to God and the way we see our relationship with others. It is free, but it is hard work. And it takes constant attention. Constant. Because we are in a fight. What do we remember? That's the how. What specifically? Well, in our passage, we're being reminded about the heritage from Abraham and how we are heirs, true heirs. There's a lot of people that were physically descended from Abraham. Not all of them were heirs. Not all of them received the inheritance, right? And so, here's a few verses from our immediate context leading up to where we're at in chapter 4. I'll start with the very last verse of chapter 3 in Galatians. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to promise. Again, it's like family identity. The very next verse, verse 1 of chapter 4. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he's under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. He moves down and he says in verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So remembering who you are. Who are you? You are a child of God and you are an heir. You are an heir of God. That's who you are. when you start focusing on your own failings or the failings that you see all the time in other people that just drive you crazy. Think about who you are and think about who they are. Abba, Father, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. That was verse 7. I'll close with another parallel passage where Paul is dealing with the same things that we need to focus on, day in, day out, every single Sunday. Romans 8:12. And I'll just close with this. Think about these truths to meditate on the rest of today, throughout this week, and the rest of your ever-loving lives. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this radical gospel message. And we thank you that Paul could come along and say, therefore, throw out that slave woman, get rid of that slave in my heart. Get rid of trying to get into the earthly Jerusalem and realize that our salvation, our sanctification is by grace. That we are citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem and we are citizens of that heavenly kingdom even now. And we pray that you would rid us of that slave mentality and you would help us to live with the freedom and the poise and the confidence that is possible through the gospel. And so we ask all of this in the name of our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.